Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning.
Oh, yeah, those trendings were pretty good. Yeah.
How is everyone doing this morning? Good to see you. We're going to go ahead and get started here. Oh, there I am. All right. Hope everyone had a good week, a good weekend. Hope you're all enjoying this weather as much as I am. If you would, I'm going to ask you to please stand. Turn to page 183. Page 183, Rock of Ages.
Solid rock. Page 423.
I've said it before, but just never gets old being able to be up here and hear all you guys singing, hearing a song like this. And if anyone knows what's going on with me lately, I need the solid rock of Jesus, that's for sure.
Come on now.
He's definitely doing some refining in my life, that's for sure. He's teaching me to just shut up and rely on Him. I'm thankful for that solid rock, and I'm thankful to be up here and hear you guys singing. It's just an awesome thing to be able to take part of every service. You may be seated.
Amen. Good to be in church this morning. Good to see everybody here. Again, like I said, in Sunday school, there's no place I'd rather be than in church this morning. Beautiful day outside. God's good. God's wonderful. I'm glad we got a solid rock we can stand upon this morning.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. All the world may give way, but Jesus Christ is a solid foundation. You know, David talks about 10,000 coming on his right side. And I got thinking about during Sunday school, standing there, we were singing during Sunday school. You know, brethren, this morning, we are so secure in Christ Jesus. He is such a solid foundation that if everything around us were to disappear, Christ could have us standing on nothing because we're in Him.
Amen.
I'm being serious. If all of a sudden the world started to crumble all around us, our hope and stay is solid in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our sure foundation. It's a blessing to be in church this morning. You know, somebody sent me a text this week, and it was a blessing, brother, talking about struggles and trials to where even the microwave talks to you. So I'll just say this. So I got a text from Erica this week, and she said, Ryan sent to Melanie and I saying that she was struggling with some things, God doing things in her lives and all that, and just trying to press through. And she goes to warm something up in the microwave for lunch, and she goes up to the microwave on the little screen there where your numbers are, and it says, chill. You want a sign? We're going Pentecostal this morning. Yeah. So when's the last time you saw a microwave say chill on it? Right? But look, God speaks to our hearts in different ways. I believe that God does things. Look, brethren, if you walk with the Lord, He's not just going to drop you. The devil will make you think He's going to just drop you and that He doesn't care for you and that He's not there. But you're safe and secure in the hands of your Heavenly Father
yes.
this morning.
Amen.
Look, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to preach right now, but I want to say this to you. I'm going to turn this on so you can hear me. And I want, please hear me on this. If you are in the will of God, you are safer in the middle of Pakistan with the Taliban all around you and them threatening you. If you're in the will of God, than if you're in your bed at home with the covers over you outside of the world.
True.
Do you hear me this morning? You are safer in the will of God in the midst of the most hated, the people that hate you the most. But if you're in the will of God, you are so safe and secure, you couldn't be in a better place than if you were out of the will of God, inside your home, underneath the covers, in your own bed, running from Him. You say, well, how? I'm not going to preach. How can somebody go to Pakistan and take their kids there? Well, if God's telling them to go, really, He has no choice. And God is right there with them, and God knows and sees all, and God will be with them. Inside the will of God, He's safe and secure. And nothing is going to touch him that his Heavenly Father doesn't know about. Then staying back, and I'm going to keep my kids safe. I'm going to keep my wife safe. I'm not going to put myself out there. Sir, you're in a dangerous spot if you're out of the will of God. That's an important principle right there. Are you in the will of God? If you are in the will of God, you are safe and secure in your Father's hands. And nothing is going to happen to you without your Father knowing it's happening. And it will be for His glory, for His honor, and for His praise. Amen. So, done preaching the first message. Now, announcements. So, Lord, we're going after the service here for all the members. Please stay. I want to discuss the main thing I want to bring up is I want to go forward with talking about the corporation and unincorporated, and what I was able to find out from the lawyer 2 weeks ago. And I'd like to get that done today. Lord willing, revival meeting to end this month, October 29th, 30th, and 31st. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday will be at 7 o'clock. Saturday the 30th will be at 6, and then 31st, that Sunday, will be the normal Sunday. Wednesday the 20th, there'll be no church here, depending on that parade, the Halloween parade. If it does rain that day, we will have church because they're going to postpone the parade to the following week. So we'll play that by ear, but if everything goes well with the weather and they have that parade, Wednesday the 20th, we'll have no church. But what I will do is this, I've been praying about what to do. Right now, what I'm feeling led to do is just have a table out front here, have some Bibles, have some tracts, have some scripture signs up. Have the doors open, and if anybody wants to use the bathroom, they're getting tracts and a Bible.
Amen.
You mean walking? You're not using this bathroom unless you take a Bible.
Amen.
So use it to try to reach the community a little bit, to let them know that we're here and that we're here to help in any way possible, but most importantly for the souls of those that are going by. Because again, if you have scripture signs up there, they're going to read them. Whether they want to or not, they're still going to read them. Amen. So I plan on doing that Wednesday the 20th. So if you'd like to help me with that, you don't have to buy, you be here a little bit earlier. I think the parade starts at 7. I would say to try to get here by 6. Is that what you say? What would you say?
Yeah,
by 6, yeah. 6:15, try to be here so you don't get blocked off because of the parade route. So, and then Lord willing, that Thursday, that 21st, that Thursday, we're going to have church night at 7. Everything normal that Thursday night. The last and final Greek class Bible study will be Tuesday, October 12th from 6 to 7:30. That'll be our last class for the brief study we've been doing. And then Ralph mentioned it during Sunday school, but I'll mention it again here. There's a assignment sheet over here, October 9th, this coming Saturday at 12 o'clock, over at Caddy Park, where we've been having our fellowships for Lydia's birthday. So if you'd like to attend, please sign up over here so Jason knows how to handle food and what he needs to get. So that's over here on the board. Amen.
Final song here. It's a song that we all know. We actually sang it pretty recently, and I don't tend to pick a song that I know we've sang real recently. I try to pick up different songs and pray about it, but I couldn't seem to shake the need to sing this song. I think it's going to be a help to us. As Pastor was saying, me and my wife are just dealing with some things, going through some things, and it's definitely been a try of our patience, been a try of our faith, just to trust the Lord through it all. It hasn't been easy at all times. I can definitely say that I have not been the greatest, at least maybe not outwardly, but definitely inwardly. I've had plenty of days where I didn't have the right attitude, and I had to just come to the Lord and confess that and ask for strength. And through it all, it's definitely a time where the Lord's challenged me as a husband, because I know through this I need to be godly example, and I need to be a leader during this time. But I know I'm not the only one that's going through things in this church. Anybody that's been in the grief classes knows there's hurt, there's heartache, there's sorrow, there's grief that we're dealing with. And I just pray it's because it's God refining us for something greater. I believe that. I think the reason why there's so much going on that people are dealing with in this church is because God really wants to use this church. I think He knows the need for the gospel in the Lehigh Valley, in the Northeast in general. If you went to look for another church, you'd be hard-pressed to find one that's preaching the Word of God in this area. And I think God knows that and wants to refine us and bring us through the fire and make us pure gold at the end. And knowing what some of you are going through makes me feel ashamed that I can get a bad attitude with what I'm dealing with. I don't know how I would deal with what you're going through. But I know I need to be praying for it. And I know if you just keep staying faithful, God has a reason for it. I don't understand it at all. But I know who you can go to. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly why I couldn't shake this song. I know we just sang it recently, but the Lord just made me feel like we need to sing. I must tell Jesus. If you'd stand with me, turn to page 238. Sing out to the Lord. I must tell Jesus.
sin again, go up on that part, let the world know we're in it to win it.
Amen.
And sing that chorus again one time, right?
Amen. Jason's really leading the music when I'm up here. But I really believe the Lord has me up here because he knows what you guys do for me. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Captain
commanded above to be Lord, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord. Trust him today, no longer delay. Board the old ship of Zion and shout on your way. Jesus save, Jesus save. Shout and sing on your way.
Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. If you take your Bibles this afternoon here, and please stand, Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. And verse number 16, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." How is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith? By true biblical salvation. That is the power of God. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you already for what's occurred this morning, Lord. Thank you for the singing, dear Lord. Thank you, dear God, that you give us voices to lift up unto you. Thank you, Lord, that we can sing. Thank you, Lord, that we can hear music played. Dear God, Lord, help us not to take these things for granted. And Lord, I pray now in this next part here, Lord, that you would be glorified, you would be honored. Lord, I do ask, dear God, this morning that you just give wisdom, guidance, and direction, the words to be spoken. Lord, I pray there'd be nothing here this morning, Lord, that would quench your spirit. I pray you'd keep the devil at bay. Dear God, Lord, I pray there'd be no distractions. Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, Lord God in heaven, that you'd keep the distractions away. And Lord, help our hearts, dear God, to hear and to see what you've said in your word. And we'll praise you and we'll glorify and we'll honor you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, this message is pretty heavy on my heart because to me, this message is the most serious message that I could ever preach. It is the most serious message that I could ever preach. It's the most serious thing that I could ever talk about. And that is the souls of mankind. This is a very serious matter, and I'm afraid today that many of my independent Baptist friends have dropped the ball on it. Actually, they haven't dropped the ball. They've created a mess. They have created a mess in society today because of this one thing, easy believism. I am wholeheartedly against just pray this prayer after me and we go on our way and everything's fine and dandy. Absolutely not. And so what I'm going to preach to you today, I'm going to try to give you, Lord willing, the Bible and what God has done in my life and in the life of others. Take your Bible real quick, and if you would, look over at Matthew chapter 23, verse number 15. Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." I'm afraid today we have a lot of stillbirths. We have a lot of individuals today who believe, quote unquote, in Jesus, but they've never been born again of God. Look at Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 15. Matthew 23, verse number 15. You know, the Pharisees are a picture of independent Baptists in the Bible. They strain at a gnat and they swallow a camel. You're wearing wired rim glasses. You're wicked. You can't preach. You got a beard. You can't preach. You're wearing shoes with tassels on them. You cannot preach. Show me in the Bible these things and then maybe we'll talk. Book, chapter, verse where you can't have a beard. But there's a lot of preachers today who won't have you in their pulpit if you got a beard. See, we strain in an at and swallow a camel, but we don't do what the Bible says. And look, this is another thing here that independent Baptists do. Verse chapter 23, verse 15. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Door knocking's it. I've heard. Oh, and they're shutting the door. No, I just want you to repeat this after me. And if you do, Jesus loves you and he'll save you. Would you just say these words after me? Yeah. Just to get you off the doorstep. Yeah, I'll say whatever you want me to say. Okay, say these words, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're saved. You're going to heaven now. Okay, yeah, have a nice day. Boom. And I'll go back. Oh, I got two people saved. Brethren, that's a salvation that's foreign to me. Completely foreign to me. And it was done to me at VBS when I was growing up as a little kid up there in Broadsville. I'll give you a part of this Sunday here. I'm talking about a Sunday, like a big old Sunday in a gutter that they had made. Yeah, just if you want to, don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven. Yeah. Just say these words after me and you're good. Brethren, I went to visit a man this week in the hospital. Somebody contacted me and they said, "Will you go visit my stepdad in the hospital? He's on a ventilator and we don't know how much longer he's got." And I went to see him. And this is the thought that come to my mind. This is the thought that's come to my mind is, you can't wait till then. You can't wait till you're in a hospital bed or in a car accident or something bad's happened and now I'm going to start thinking about God. This, he says, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is made, he's twofold for the child of hell themselves. I'm going to read something to you this morning. This is from a missionary to Thailand. And he sent this, and he gives his testimony in his prayer letter he sent as he's trying to raise support to stay over there in Thailand. And I want you to listen to what this missionary has to say. He says, "From the day of my birth, my parents have been faithfully serving Christians. In that environment, for me, spiritual things were assimilated instead of being sought. Such was the case one Sunday evening when a guest preacher came to our church. At the end of the sermon, he asked for people to raise their hands, which is something my pastor did not normally do. Ignorantly, I raised my hand, having no idea what I was doing. Later that evening, my mother came to my bedroom and asked me if I was serious when I raised my hand. I was caught. Rather than facing the punishment for lying, I told her that I was serious. She then asked me questions about the way of salvation and led me in a sinner's prayer. I remember the prayer, but what I do not remember was the Holy Spirit's conviction driving me to make that prayer." The Holy Spirit convicting the heart. That is what's missing in our churches today. What's missing in our churches today is the power of God unto salvation. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, conviction upon the life of a sinner, showing him he's a sinner and showing him his need of a Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. Rather, we just, to get numbers, or for whatever reason, we feel pressured today in our churches to have people at the end, bow your head, raise your hand. I don't need to see your hand. There ain't no preacher, and I know preachers that come through here, some brothers I love dearly, and they do it. God help them. That's their thing. I will never do that. It is not my place to know what's going on in your heart. What am I to do? You raise your hand. Well, no, you need to raise your hand to Jesus Christ, not to the preacher. To me, in some ways, it's almost like Catholicism. Confession. Show me that you're not right with God right now. I need to see your hand. Who am I? I'm a mere man just like you. I don't need to know you're struggling with sin. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. I'm not worried about numbers. I'm not worried about what other preachers think of me or this church. What I'm concerned about is the gospel of God being preached with power and Holy Ghost conviction. That is what I'm concerned about. I am not concerned about numbers. And God, help me, Lord, help me to never be concerned with numbers. This brother here, he said, I'm going to read on. He said, I remember the prayer, but what I do not remember is the Holy Spirit's conviction convicting me during this prayer. Later, this facade revealed itself to others when I left home to join the U.S. Navy. Less than a year later, I had completely quit going to church and was falling into a sinful lifestyle. He says, for 5 years, I was running from God. Finally, God got my attention and convinced me that the things that I was running from were in reality that I the thing I'm sorry. God got my attention and convinced me that the things that I was running from were in reality things that I was trying to find. I started attending church in Hawaii, cleaned up my lifestyle, and became a faithful servant of God. Many times, though, hearing evangelistic sermons would cause me to doubt the validity of my salvation. I would persistently fight this now obvious leading of the Holy Spirit by convincing myself that I prayed a prayer when I was a child and that was sufficient. I further repressed this unction by assuming that it was God trying to lead me in another step of spiritual growth. As a teenager, I had surrendered to the call to preach, so as an adult, I assumed that this was the reason for the conviction that I was under. I rededicated my life and myself to his full-time service and even became more involved in serving God. It was also during this time that I began to explore what ministry God would want me to pursue. My pastor at that time advised me to get involved with as many different ministries as possible to see where God might lead. One of his recommendations was to take a trip and spend some time with a missionary on the field. I did so in 2004 when I went to help my brother-in-law and my sister right after they delivered their first child. During that trip to Thailand, that I surrendered to God my desire. I decided that if God wanted me to be a missionary, then I would be glad to obey. Later that same year, I believe that God made the call even more clear. And now, 14 years later, I see no end to the will of God for me to continue as a full-time missionary to Thailand. He says, I left the military on June 1st, 2005, and got married to Jessica June 10th, who I had met during my first visit to Thailand, and enrolled at Baptist College in that fall of that year. Shortly after school started, Jessica approached me on a Sunday evening after church about needing to be saved. This man's preaching. He's been on the mission field for almost 14 years doing that, serving God. His wife comes to him after one Sunday night service and says, I need to be saved. Unbeknownst to her, the Holy Spirit had also been working in my heart. When she told me this, I thought, no, it's me. However, I was not yet ready to submit, but my wife's submission to salvation shook me to the core. And it wasn't long after that the Holy Spirit finally broke me. And I admitted that even though I knew and believed in the Bible way of salvation, I was still trusting in my own actions to save me. Since that day, I have full assurance, and I am saved and on my way to heaven. These events undoubtedly caused me confusion about the future of God's call in my life. Had I mistaken the call to salvation with the call to full-time service? I resolved to continue to move forward With the call to the full-time service, allowing God the supreme authority to divert me at any time, I am still serving, and the realization that I am fulfilling God's call in my life only grows with the passage of time. You see, the problem with this missionary is he went on the mission field and was there for a number of years, but when he came home, he and his wife both realized that they were lost and needed to be saved. And he was struggling with the fact of, do I go back on the mission field because I was over there the whole time as a lost individual? His wife's testimony is this: it was not many years for me to realize I needed to get saved. As an 8-year-old girl, I started attending Awana with my neighbor lady. Growing up, I went to Philadelphia Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Missouri. The teenage years were rough with my parents getting divorced. The youth group was strong with summer mission trips and many activities. Our pastor at the time was Pastor Tim Stowe, and he pastors now in Texas. She goes on to say that she went on the mission field because of what the church was trying to get her to do, and she decided to go on the mission field. She says, my husband Dave and I met for the first time in Thailand. After being in Thailand for 5 years, I returned home to get married in June 2005. David and I made our first home in Horn Lake, Mississippi. He moved there to attend this Baptist college. On and off during my life, the Holy Spirit urged me to get saved. I put it out of my mind by remembering the time as a young girl that I made a profession of faith and was baptized. Besides, I told myself it would be too embarrassing for the college singer or the missionary to admit not being saved. The conviction was especially heavy around the time of our wedding. The Sunday we joined Bethel Baptist, I remember thinking that I really should be going forward to be saved, not to become a member. The next month in 2005, one night after church, I knew that if I didn't get saved, I would go to hell. At home that night, before I could go to sleep, David and I prayed, and I asked the Lord to save me. Thank the Lord for his long suffering. Brethren, these are serious matters. The Bible says, for Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, what we preach, what we teach, what we put forward as a church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, brethren, this morning, I want you to think about your soul. I want you to think about true biblical salvation and what it produces. True biblical salvation produces a change in an individual's life. There ought to be a difference in your life after the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. There ought to be, look, the lights ought to have come on. You have to have been transformed from the darkness to light. Your eyes are now open and you can see. And the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Not that you just have a mere profession, like I've said before, but an honest possession of the Holy Spirit of God. A possession that says you're his and he is yours. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, preaching Christ Jesus and a change that takes place in an individual's life. One ought not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ as though they feel like they need to hide or conceal their belief or faith in him. You know, before I got saved, I didn't want people knowing I was a Christian, even though I claimed to be one. That's the last thing I wanted people to know, is that I was a saved individual. Paul says, or the psalmist says, King David says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. You see, this morning, brethren, it does no good to just go through motions. Does no good to just say, I believe in Jesus. Has he transformed you? Has he made you a new creature? Has the gospel of God pierced your heart? The Bible says in verse 17 of Romans chapter 1, it says, for therein, what? the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You see, this morning, my faith and my trust is completely wholly upon Jesus Christ. There is no good in me. There never will be any good in me outside of what Christ has done for me. You see, it is His blood that was shed on that cross 2,000 years ago that makes me justified before the Father in heaven. His atoning sacrifice, that blood that was shed, that was taken to that heavenly tabernacle there in the heavens, and Jesus Christ to appear before the Father in heaven and makes intercessions for me, it is that blood that justifies me with the Father this morning. Brethren, it is not in getting somebody to pray a prayer. It's not in getting somebody to repeat something. It's getting somebody willing to give up and turn their life over to Jesus Christ. Do you see, it's just not mere words that you speak that gives you eternal life. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you that performs and gives you eternal life, not some words you get somebody to say. Brethren, we're missing it today. We're afraid to let God work, to let God move and deal with the situation. Do I want to see anybody go to hell? Absolutely not. But I also am not going to give anybody false assurance of salvation. Has Jesus Christ changed you? You know, when I got saved, I'll give you my testimony. I thought I was saved. I said how many prayers I prayed growing up. I don't know how many times I asked Jesus to save me. And I was sincere. I was sincere. But the thing that kept me back was Chris Welton. You say, what you talking about, Chris? I'm talking about every time Holy Ghost conviction fell upon me and I knew it, I was unwilling to completely give up and turn my life over to Christ. There was always something that I was holding on to and I said, I want my life, but I also want eternal life. And God says, that's not how it works. What did Jesus say? He says, take up your cross and follow me. March 19, 2000, I finally got to the point. I said, God, I'm done. I give up. I just want you. Lord, if you want me to wear a red t-shirt every Friday the rest of my life, God, I'm willing to do it. God, if you want me to walk here and do... God, Lord, I give up. Submit. I submit, God. I give up. All I want to know is you, Lord. And immediately God transformed me, changed me. I ain't never been the same since. That's biblical salvation. It isn't in a formula. It isn't in this soul-winning program. And you go through these steps and bam, produces like a magic pill somebody into the kingdom of God. It's a heart issue. And we're afraid to deal with the heart because most of men's hearts aren't willing to submit to Jesus Christ. Most individuals say, I want Jesus, but I want my life too. And does the two cannot, they can't coexist. The two cannot coexist. The Bible says, take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Paul asked a question. Paul says, what? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Brethren, look at this verse here. It's a powerful verse in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body that you now dwell in, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. If you are saved today, you are not your own. You are now the property of Jesus Christ. You are now the property of God the Father. Look at verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Look at which are God's. You see this morning, brethren, you are not your own. You are not your own. You're God's. You have been bought with a price, and that price was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This thing of salvation, though simple, individuals make it complicated. The Bible says, look over at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, and look at verse number 7. John 16:7. John 16:7. The Bible says here. John 16:7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Talking about the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter. What will the Comforter do? He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, is to come into the world, and he is to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He is to reprove the world and tell the world, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all are guilty before God. Hold your hand there and look over at Romans chapter 3, look at verse 10. Romans 3, verse number 10. Holy Spirit is to deal with the world about sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Look, there is none righteous, there's none good, and the whole world today stands in condemnation, stands in judgment, and is guilty before God this morning. Verse 20, therefore, because of these things, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Have you been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Has Jesus made you a new creature? Paul said in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You see, this morning, eternal life happens when we place our faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we turn from self and turn to Christ. One can never be justified before God by keeping the law or by performing good works. I guess the question to ask now is, are you resting in Jesus Christ and His finished work? You know, if I were to stand before God this morning and He were to ask me why you should go into heaven or why I should go into heaven, I would point to His Son and say, because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He did for me. And how He paid the price. He is now my advocate. And when I was down there on planet Earth, I placed my complete faith and trust in His finished work. And that is what I'm relying upon for eternal life. And He changed me. And He made me a new creature. Brethren, I know these things I'm preaching are as true as I'm standing here this morning. And all the imps and devils of hell hate this message. They hate it. The things going through my mind right now make me want to run out that door and never come back. But I know what I'm preaching this morning is truth. And as your pastor and as someone that loves you, I want you to be completely sure you know you have been born again of God. That you have, as John Newton says in Amazing Grace, "Look, I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found." That Jesus Christ changed me and made me a new creature. That my faith and trust is in Him and Him alone. You see, we are justified by faith, and then we are expected to live by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:15, "Now boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, and when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 10 about your faith being increased. He talks in 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, and 4 that your faith should grow exceedingly. You see, if you're born again of God this morning, God desires for your faith and trust in Him to grow every single day. But He also desires for our faith not to waver, but to trust in Him in all situations. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. This morning, I would have to lie to you to say that I'm not saved. I would have to lie to you to say that I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I would have to lie to you to say that He hasn't made a difference in my life this morning. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He says here, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." God desires and God wants us to get to a place someday, hopefully, to where our faith doesn't waver, but we trust Him and know that He does all things well. You see, if our faith wavers, it hinders us. Because the Bible goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 that, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Do you see what Hebrews 11 says today? Look what Hebrews 11 says in verse number 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." Who? God. You cannot please God. You cannot be pleasing to God if you're living a life without faith. You see, faith, you cannot see faith. You cannot touch faith. Faith isn't something that you grab off the shelf and hold on to. Faith is something that you put your faith and belief and trust in because God's word says it and you believe it. Even though you might not understand it, even though you might not see it, even though you might not feel it, you know, "Thus saith the Lord God, and I place my faith and trust in what He says, and that is what I'm standing on." He says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." But look at this next part. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." So if you're going to come to God, you must believe that He is, that He exists, that He's the Creator. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is," and look at this next part, "and that He is a rewarder of" who? "Of them that diligently seek Him." Who does God reward? Who does God reward? "Them that diligently seek Him." You know what's missing in our soul and our soul winning and trying to bring people to Jesus Christ? Giving space for them to seek God. Brethren, if you don't hear anything else I say today, when I got saved, I was seeking God. When I got saved March 19, 2000, in that little old church building that was run down and beat up, when I walked into that service, my heart wanted to know God. I didn't have no preacher pushing me. I didn't need no preacher pushing me. I wanted Jesus. And when I walked in that doors that Sunday morning, God knew my heart this morning that I was seeking truth. I wanted to know what truth was. I had been told so many different lies. I got sick of it all. And I said, I remember crying down the interstate as I drove home one day, "God, I just want to know You. What is truth, God?" And God slowly but surely led me where I need to be to hear the truth and give me a point to where I cry out to Him, and immediately He saved me and made me a new creature. I was seeking Him. I was a seeking Savior, met a seeking sinner, and we met, and bam! bam, salvation occurred. Just like a lightning bolt. With a lightning bolt, you have a leader and you have a follower. And when they meet, boom, that's when you get the explosion. A seeking God met a seeking sinner. But today, we don't have sinners seeking God. Take a shortcut. We'll just pray this thing, and we wonder why our church is in our mess, and why people don't come to church, and why they do this, and why they're back on God, and what. Maybe they were never born again in the first place because you forced something on them, you got them to say something, and it wasn't a true conversion of God. Brethren, these things are important this morning. I'm not here this morning to get anybody to doubt their salvation, but I am here this morning to get people to think. I know what occurred in my life, and I'd have to be a liar to say that one day something occurred and salvation made me a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now look, I'm going to put these things together. I'm almost done. Who does God reward? God rewards those that diligently seek Him. Take your Bible, look over at Proverbs chapter 2. This is soul winning right here. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. You know what I preach to those juveniles in that juvenile center? Seek God. Keep seeking God. Keep calling out to Him. Keep going down this right path. Keep reading the Bible. Keep praying. Because I knew if they were on that road and they were sincere and they wanted to know truth, God would reveal Himself to them and they'd get saved. All I had to do was be faithful and continue to give them the scriptures and tell them, seek God, seek God, seek God. Keep going after Him. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1. Look what David tells his son Solomon. My son, if, now there's a big word right there, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then when you do these things, when you receive my word, when you hide my commandments, when you incline your ear, when you apply your heart, when you cry after knowledge, when you lift up your voice for understanding, when you seek her as for silver and search for her as for hid treasure, verse 5, then when you do those things, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We've short-circuited God today. We've short-circuited His word because most individuals aren't seeking God. They just don't want to go to hell. Ask anybody on your street. Unless they're sarcastic, ain't nobody out here in Catasauqua, Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, say, yeah, you know what? Just let me spend eternity in a fire of hell burning forever. That's what I desire. Unless they're being sarcastic, nobody in their right mind is going to say, yeah, I want to go to hell. Well, do you want to live a holy, righteous life before God? No. But I don't want to go to hell. Can I just have the best of both worlds? Can I just live my life the way I want to live it and still go to heaven? Brethren, we're missing it. We're missing it. Proverbs chapter 2. Dealing with before the cross. This is before the cross. This is before individuals are born again of the Spirit of God. Look what David tells his son to find the knowledge of God. Look at these things that he lists in verses 1 through verse 4 in order to find the knowledge of God, in order to understand the fear of God. Look at these things that he puts into his heart. He says, Solomon, if you cry out to God, if you search for Him, if you seek for Him, He will reveal Himself to you and show you these things. Brethren, my question to you this morning is, do you want God? Do you want the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you just merely going through the motions because it's just what you're supposed to do? I'm not here this morning. I'm not your pastor this morning because it's just what I'm supposed to do. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Bible believer today because it's just what I'm supposed to do. I'm the way I am because of Jesus Christ. Because I want Him. I want to love Him because that wonderful Savior up there loved me, this wicked sinner. Brian, you talk about how you don't understand how you can get up here and sing. I don't understand how God allows me to preach. the wicked man that I am. God help this sinner. I'm undone outside of Jesus Christ. Brethren, if you knew me and you knew my thoughts, you'd never want to be a man. And the same with you. That's why God doesn't make us mind readers. Because we wouldn't have a friend in the world. We're all wicked. We're all undone. And we need a Savior. We just don't. Brethren, we just don't need religion. You can go to the Lutheran church and get religion this morning. You can go to the Methodist church and just get religion this morning. I don't want religion. I want true biblical salvation that produces a change in an individual's life that doesn't need a preacher to grab him by the hand and say, you need to go to church. The Holy Spirit says you need to go to church. When I got saved, I didn't need my pastor to say, now you need to come to church. You need to. I wanted to read my Bible. I wanted to go to church because I was a new creature in Him. It was like the greens, the leaves on the trees were greener. The sun was brighter. The water was clearer because I had the new birth. I wanted God. I wanted to be in my Bible. I would devour anything you could give me about Jesus because I was born again. I was like a little baby just putting everything in my mouth. Just give me Jesus. I know of no other salvation that doesn't produce a change and a desire to love the one that saved them. Brethren, I love you. But it grieves my heart what is being done today in churches. And how many people just make a profession because they feel pressured by the preacher. I'll just do what he wants me to do just to get him off my back. I've heard people say that as their own testimony. They only prayed a prayer because they wanted a preacher to get off their back. God help us. God help us. You say, preacher, why is there no power no more? Because we short-circuit the Holy Spirit of God. We think that results means that God's in it. That's the farthest thing from the truth. I'm going to close with these words this morning. This preacher said this, talking about kind of what I'm talking about, and this is back in the 1800s. He says, but still, all hurry to get members into the church is most mischievous, both to the church and to the supposed converts. I remember very well several young men who were of good moral character and religiously hopeful. But instead of searching their hearts and aiming at their real conversion, the pastor never gave them any rest till he had persuaded them to make a profession. This is in the 1800s. The pastor thought that they would be under more bonds to holy things if they professed religion, and he felt quite safe in pressing them, for they were so hopeful. He imagined that to discourage them by vigilant examination might drive them away, and so to secure them, he made them hypocrites. These young men are, at the present time, much further off from the church of God than they would have been if they had been affronted by being kept in their proper place and warned that they were not converted to God. It is serious injury to a person to receive him into the number of the faithful unless there is good reason to believe that he is really converted. I am sure it is so, for I speak after careful observation. Some of the most glaring sinners known to me were once members of a church, and as were, as I believe, led to make a profession by undue pressure. Well meant, but ill judged. Do not, therefore, consider that soul winning is or can be secured by the multiplications of baptisms and the swelling of the size of your church. What mean these dispatches from the battlefield? Last night, 14 souls were conviction, 15 were justified, and 8 received full sanctification. I am weary of this public bragging, this counting on this exhibition of doubtful spoils. lay aside such numbering, idle pretense of certifying in half a minute that which will need the testing of a lifetime. You hear what he just said? That which is justified, or that which is certified in half a minute, that which needs the testing of a lifetime. But in your highest excitements, be reasonable. Inquiry rooms are very well, but if they lead to idle boastings, they will grieve the Holy Spirit and work abounding evil. Brethren, self-examination before God. Put forth the truth of the gospel. There's power in the preaching of the cross, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is power in the gospel. God unto salvation. Preach the word, put forth the gospel, hand out tracts, answer any questions, and then leave. Let them hold that rock. Let them think about it. Let them examine themselves. Let them make the decision to come to Christ. Not forced to say something in order for them to be justified before God. These things are serious this morning. They're heavy upon my heart. Again, I'm not here this morning to get anybody to doubt. I'm not here to get anybody to doubt about their salvation. But I am here to get people to think, to make sure. The Bible says in Corinthians to examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Paul says to examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Are you truly in the faith this morning? Have you truly been born again of God? Are you His? Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, I pray, dear God, the enemy steal away these words this morning, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you would bear witness to them. Lord, it was never my intention this morning to get anybody to doubt or have confusion in their mind, dear Lord. That's not my intention, dear God. But Lord, my intention is for us to examine ourselves. Lord, to truly look at ourselves, to make sure that we just don't have mere religion. But Lord, we have a new life through faith in you, Lord Jesus. Help us now this morning, dear God. Help us to walk close to you. Help us to love you more. Help us to stay faithful, dear God. Help us not to waver to and fro. Lord, help us to rest upon you as our solid foundation. And Lord, may you just be glorified in all that has been said and done. Lord, till we get home someday to praise you for eternity. Lord, help us praise you now. Lord, thank you for dying on that cross. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you for opening my eyes to the truth of salvation. Thank you, dear God, for converting me. And Lord, I pray you'd help these precious brethren, Lord, help us through the rest of this day, Lord, to live for you. And we pray these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. What you got? If you please stand, we're going to sing page 563. Page 563.
Father, we just thank you for the service that we had, Lord. Thank you for the day, Lord. And Lord, just help us to search our hearts today of what was preached today, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to understand these things, Lord. And Lord, just let us search our own hearts, Lord, and convict ourselves, Lord, of salvation, Lord. And Lord, just help us to go out there and tell the world about it, Lord, and that they need to hear, Lord, about Jesus Christ and his salvation, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things, Lord. Give us a good time to give us a good day today, Lord. Keep us safe as we go home and come back again tonight, Lord. Lord, just bless us as we go. Watch over us. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right.